You're listening to What's Up with Wendy.
I think Fight Song might be my new song for my show.
Ooh, all right.
How's that?
I hear you. Okay, Wendy, I love it.
My heart is literally skipping a beat. I am a huge fan. Welcome to my show, Paul Reiser.
Wow, thank you. That is so nice.
I am thrilled to welcome back to my show, Barbara Corcoran.
Welcome and congratulations, Wendy, having a national show now. I'm very proud of you. Well done. You took a little thing and made a big, big thing.
Michael Bolton.
Hello. This is
Wendy, yes.
Oh, hi, Wendy. I've reached the real one. Okay.
The real thing. Welcome back to my show, the beautiful Maria Menounos.
I was excited when I saw you on the lineup. I'm like, yes, Wendy. You're always so bright and happy, and you are a great interviewer, so thank you so much.
Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Can your son play, Wendy? How big is he?
The beautiful Vanessa Williams.
I know you come from a very strong line of women.
Exactly right.
Your mom was a force to be reckoned with.
You must have read my book. Both my parents helped me become the person that I am.
Hello, friends. You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. My guest today, multi-talented singer, songwriter, and performer, turned vocal coach and talent manager, Samantha Cole is joining me, and actress, beauty expert, entrepreneur, who developed her own skincare line, Beverly Hills Balm. Corey Oliver is joining me. Singer, songwriter, actress, celebrity voice coach, joining me to talk about her event at the Richfield Playhouse, Write, Record, and Promote Like a Pro. So if you're a singer wanting to learn vocal mastery and proper mic use and so much more, you won't want to miss this. I am thrilled to welcome to my show recording artist, songwriter, and celebrity voice coach, Samantha Cole.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for being here. Okay, so I want to start back with your career. You first started when you signed with Universal Records at the young age of 19.
Yes, I did, way back. Yes, thank you.
Oh my God, so how did that all happen?
So basically I was out singing at a place called Tattoo, and I got discovered by, I was in college, and I got discovered by this English producer out of the UK, and they wanted to sign me, and, you know, long story short, they were taking a long time to do the paperwork, and I had met the Hit Factory owner, and you know, I was working with my publisher at the time from EMI, and we were at a jazz club. He's like, come down to the Hit Factory, which was like the biggest studio in New York, if nobody knows what that is. It was where everybody recorded their albums, you know.
Wow.
It was the biggest recording thing in the city. So I got to go down and do a tour, and while I was there, they heard my little demo tape, and basically Doug Morris was doing a new label at the time, and they said, do you mind if we play it for him? And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine, whatever. And, you know, 3 weeks later, they were like, we want to sign you. So I had a meeting, and it was really unexpected and not planned, and it was very cool and exciting to be the first artist ever signed to what became Universal. So while I was there, they obviously merged into Universal, which was, you know, a bigger company.
Right.
So he took his smaller label imprint and merged. And, so it was really exciting. And being the first there was, you know, nobody was in the offices yet, and there was nobody at the desk. And, you know, then they filled the desk, you know, as I was there. It was really interesting.
That's a great story, because probably not a lot of people know that.
No, I don't think so. You know, those little things get kind of bypassed, you know, once, you know, you start putting things down, it's all about that. But it was definitely a very exciting, and very new to me, and I was really young, and you know what I mean? It was interesting how it all happened.
I can't even imagine, and I find it fascinating that you're here you are, you're just singing, and then you get discovered, and it's like,
yes.
Those are like the stories that movies are made of, right?
Absolutely. It's funny how sometimes when you're not trying to do something, you know, then something happens. You know, they hear those stories too. So it's kind of like I wasn't shopping my stuff, but I got, you know, like people wanted to get, you know, they wanted to sign me. It was weird because I'm like, well, I just wrote only my first three songs. You know, I was just working on my writing.
Amazing.
And that's kind of how it happened. You know, those London people, if they hadn't taken so long, I would have been signed to them. You know?
Oh, right.
It was interesting. Yeah.
What inspires you to write?
You know, everything is like kind of like I look at things now from a point of view of very different than when I was 19, of course, where you're writing stories and trying to find, you know, you take ideas and form songs. I basically now have got enough life experience that I turned them into songs now. So it's, you know, it's very different. It's like when something hits me and I feel something, I'll write it down and I'll go, this needs to be, like, I need to write about this. You know, sort of like a, music is like a form of therapy. So it's, they say musical therapy, it's true, because it really is an outlet for people to express their emotions and their feelings and also things that have happened to them, you know, their experiences too. It's just a nice platform to be able to get it all out, you know.
Oh my God, such a nice platform. One of the fan favorites, Without You, was covered by American Idol's, was it Clay Aiken and Kimberly Locke? That's amazing.
Yeah. That is funny because we're like neighbors, right? Kimberly Locke is, lives up here, and I've never met her, but they did my song, and I didn't know about the cover until my aunt was at the Clay Aiken concert, and she called my mom and was like, he's singing my niece's song, and we didn't know. So it was really fun how that came about. Like they put it on her album, and they did a really great job, too. That was one of my favorite songs, and that actually came from a poem about my grandmother who passed away. So that song has, you know, an interesting meaning, and that's how we started writing it from that poem that I wrote. So
that's so cool. What was it like when you were like, you found out, you're like, oh, my God, they're singing my song?
I was shy. I was happy. It was great because, you know, it was a good record for me. I wrote it with David Foster and Richard Marx, and it did really well for me, especially overseas, where I had a number one in Asia and sold a ton of records, tons of fans there because of that one record. And it's a very beautiful record, and it's probably one of my favorites, you know, on the album. And in time, still, it still sounds, you know, current, you know what I mean? So to have them cover it was, you know, it was definitely really... It was very cool.
That is so cool. And you've co-written songs with some of the greats. You mentioned David Foster, members of John Bon Jovi, Aerosmith.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? From 19-year-old who got discovered to all this.
Yeah, you know what? I was really lucky to be in the room with so many big names, like Sturkino Rogers and Bruce Roberts and, I mean, even Robin Thicke and...
Wow.
Like Tony Rich and I could go on about how many people I've written with and been in a room with, even the guys that, like, you know, you don't really know who they are, but they've written major songs for Madonna. So I definitely got the experience of being thrown in rooms with all different types of writers and personalities and coming together writing, like David Morales, I wrote with him, and just being all different types of music as well. So I definitely gained a lot of experience in that time working with all those people.
And how about who you toured with? Backstreet Boys,
yeah.
Shaggy, 98 Degrees. I mean, what is that like?
Well, we all kind of started up around the same time in the late 90s where you know, all that pop, you know, went from Alanis Morissette to like pop, right? And we just all did a lot of shows together, and it was really great because we all... We're hanging around, going out together, and growing up a little bit together in the scene. So, you know, you kind of become friends because you're always at the same things together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
excuse me. So it was really great, to, you know, just to know them from when they were kids and when they first started. And then, you know, I see them every now and again. And you go, oh my God! Like, you know, because you knew each other for 20 years. So
yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool, and to watch them grow and become, you know, even bigger. Than they were then. It's amazing.
Amazing. And what is it like when you're on the road? Is it tough?
Yeah. You know, I experienced a real tour probably when I went over to Asia because I was there and it wasn't like my hometown or, you know, you're far away from family and stuff. And you're in a foreign country. So for me, I took that as like a real tour experience because I was there for 2 months and we worked from, you know, the time someone comes in your room at 6 a.m. to do your hair and makeup until 10 o'clock at night when they're still picking out your clothes for the next day. So you're never alone and you're always on and you're always signing and taking pictures and singing and traveling to the next thing and rushing and, you know, radio interviews and fan lunches and photo shoots. And you know what? It's grueling and it makes you tired. And sometimes you need a few minutes to not be on, you know, and I did get really good experience in knowing what it's like by doing that, and they did give me a week off, but in between while I was there, but I mean, it definitely is not stop, and there was lots of of sleep.
I can't even imagine. I don't even know how you prepare for that.
I was not prepared for that, but it was an amazing experience, and I wouldn't take back at all. You know, I got to do that for 4 months over there, so it was really great. Over here, it's different because you get to come home in between.
Yeah,
over there, you didn't get to come home.
You took a really long hiatus.
I did. I was, you know, I had 4 album deals. I don't know. Nobody knows that part of my story, but I had another album deal with Warner after Universal that fell through. I had another deal with EMI that fell through. And then I had another one in Europe that the people that I did the deal with were just, they didn't have the money they made out to say they had to finish the project. So it didn't really go anywhere. So I had like 4, you know, 3 failing album deals where I wrote the whole album that never came out. So I worked with like the Boys to Men, like all the people throughout these albums. And it was a bummer because there were some really great songs. Great songs that people would be like, wow, that never came out. But I got a little burnt out and I took a break because it was just a daily hustle grind. And I was like, you know what? It's becoming a lot to just maintain it. And it's like the product isn't, you know, keeping up with it. And, so I did a bunch of dance-off singles. I did one-off projects for a while. And then I went into, I went into the hospitality field. I started my own company. So that's kind of how my break started. And then I did a concierge company in the Hamptons for a few years.
Oh, wow.
And I went on to manage for a really big company out of Denver, which is like a, you know, international company. I managed all their stuff in New York. So I was pretty, you know, sidetracked with that for a while. Then I got married and I had kids. So that's kind of how my break went.
So that was that.
But I mean, I loved it. I have to say, I loved the hospitality field. It was like my second
yeah,
calling. So I didn't go from one to the other and like, what am I doing? It was felt natural for me. So I, you know, when I had my first baby, I was up here in Connecticut, so we decided to, I would give it a try to see if there was a need for, you know, people needing a voice coach and things like that. I wasn't quite sure how that would go. I wasn't sure how I felt about music anymore. I wasn't sure if I'd even like doing it. But I had been asked a few times, will you teach my daughter? And I was like, nah, I really am not on that right now. But then, you know, when I put an ad out and I got my first student and I went to their house and it just flooded back like I didn't feel like I was working at all. So to be honest, I've been coaching for almost 9 years
wow.
now. And I love it. And I'm back to music because of my students. You know, and if it wasn't for this, I probably wouldn't be putting records out again, you know?
Oh my God. That's what a story. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Samantha Cole, multi-talented singer, songwriter, performer, turned vocal coach and talent manager. I love that journey. You know, you did all this amazing stuff starting at 19, which is so young, and you went on to have this amazing career. And then it was, you know, here we are, we're moms. So everything changes.
Oh, right. Exactly.
and just like that, you know, you found your love again. It's pretty remarkable. So you're going to be, you're going to be at the Ridgefield Playhouse. One of my favorite places ever. I say that and I truly mean that, on March 22nd at 11 a.m., for tickets for this, you can call 203-438-5795. It's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you're teaming up with unbelievable 13-time Emmy Award-winning AJ Gundel. Thinks that's so awesome. So let's talk about what you're going to be doing at the Ridgefield Playhouse for this workshop.
So we're going to do we decided to kind of team up and combine like all of our expertise and reach out to, you know, more of an overall like umbrella of things under music. So you have, you know, you have singing, you have performing, you have songwriting, which is really important, and you have recording. And then, you know, there's this element now with the indie artists and really where the music business has gone is you release your own stuff and you do everything yourself, right? So we have recording, and then we're going to touch on like your, like for people who are interested in this part, like setup and marketing and promo and just, you know, really going over every aspect of, like, what you could need to know. And I know it's, like, sort of like a crash, like, one-day kind of class, but I feel like we could reach, you know, the musicians that maybe need some help with their home studio and their recording and how to like, get their head around really even putting their own product out, or the young, you know, the young teenager who's aspiring to be the next, you know, big thing, and, like, where do they start? And if they're writing in their bedroom and they don't know what to do with their songs, like, let's get them, you know, into the songwriting class, you know. So we have, like, we're actually going to be songwriting. We're going to be working on everything within the day. So there'll be an element of performing and singing. There'll be an element of a couple hours of songwriting session, and then a little bit of a mock demo recording so people can watch, learn, and see how the process is and how it works. And then from the recording, we go into Q&A with, you know, some industry people like Dave Novak, who have been in the record business they were senior VP of A&R at Columbia, you know, Sony, Universal, like big time through the era of artist development. So, who also started his own company consulting and releasing indie projects. So we all kind of have our little niche of what we're, you know, experienced in, and then to give back into this one class, like, where it can really, it's a good overall thing. I mean, I think we're not, you know, someone just doesn't want to just learn about, you know, singing, they sing already, but they don't know anything else about what to do. It's kind of like that they can, you know, just get everything under one umbrella in one day.
I think that's so cool. So celebrity voice coach Samantha Cole is teaming up with 13 Emmy award-winning musician, producer AJ Gundel, presenting a professional one-day workshop at the Richfield Playhouse on Sunday, March 22nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This workshop is for music artists who wish to learn about performing, vocal techniques, proper mic use, songwriting, recording, licensing, as well as getting tips on marketing and promotional secrets from you guys. That's pretty amazing. And you know what I have to say? I think the full-day workshop, I think you can get a lot done.
Right, and AJ is a great, great person because he, not only has he won all the Emmys, but he was teaching songwriting down in Westport, the classes, and also has his own licensing company, which all these, like, aspiring singer-songwriters want to get their songs out there on TV and film them, and he's the guy that can do it, you know, and he's actually gotten my songs on, you know, All My Children. You know, I had about 5 or 6 songs on All My Children for, like, 2 years through his company. So, you know, he really is...
Wait,
really,
hold on. You know that was, like, my favorite show ever.
All My Children is the best. I wish it was still on, right?
Yes, oh, my gosh. Obsessed. When I worked at Phil Donahue many, many years ago, was one of the first shows we had the cast on. I flew my parents up and surprised them because it was, like, our thing that we watched together. I wish it was on. I still speak to Edmund all the time.
My mom and my brother taped it every single day.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It's so funny. We grew up with that show. It was funny.
Oh my God, that's so funny. And God, was it awesome? Right? It's just awesome. Oh, those certainly were the days. I wish those were back. Those were the days where we could just sit and literally, like, you know, enjoy regular, not all the news that's out there today.
Right. It was just like a nice, like, show to keep watching. I'm actually watching Grey's Anatomy right now, which reminds me a little bit of the drama of a soap opera. I was like, oh, this is a really cool show with all the drama, and it continues on the next episode. So yeah, it reminds me of that.
Oh my God, that's so funny. My daughter watches that too. She's obsessed with that.
Yeah, that show. But AJ's worked on All My Children and Guiding Light. You know, he's written for some other big country artists. Like, he's just really, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and we both live up here, and so does Dave. And, you know, I said, but listen, we all have so much experience to help give back and help these people who, you know, they don't know where to go, and you can't get this anywhere up here but with what we're doing. But you can get it in the city, but you can't get it up here. So we're trying to do something that is very unique, not given up here. You have to go to multiple people to get from Monday.
And it's going to, and it's held at one of the greatest places, the Richfield Playhouse. It's like, it's like our own little New York City, right in our backyard. So if you just tuned in, Samantha Cole and 13-time Emmy award-winning musician producer are teaming up for a one-day workshop, March 22nd at the Richfield Playhouse. For tickets, 203-438-5795. That's a full full day, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. You're going to learn so much. It's so exciting.
Not just kids, it's adults. And it's musicians who play and write and sing, and it's also aspiring younger artists. It's open to everyone who, you know, you can learn a lot in one day. So if you're interested in the music business or even performing or putting out your own music or writing, you know, just being a writer, it's an important class for you.
Oh, my God, I think it's so awesome. You are the sweetest person. Thank you so much for this. Samantha Cole, multi-talented singer, songwriter, performer, turned vocal coach and talent manager, and my new favorite person. Thank you for this. I look forward. I'm sure everyone's going to get so much out of this workshop, and come back anytime.
Yes, thank you, Wendy, and thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back with actress, beauty expert, and entrepreneur who developed her own skincare line. You won't want to miss this. Corey Oliver is joining me.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. For more information on me and my show, follow me on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up with Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Lowy Sloan.
Welcome, John O'Hurley. I read that you said that Jay Peterman came naturally to you.
Well, it really did. You know, he was kind of a 40s radio drama combined with a little bit of a bad Charles Gerault.
Do people walk up to you all the time still and say, Peterman, Peterman, and do they ask you to say something?
Not only that, they quote lines perfectly. I was playing with the championship team in the championship season. I don't think there's ever been a cast assembled that was quite as talented or as intelligent as the four of them. You just knew you were in St. Peter's Cathedral when you were there either rehearsing or doing the show. And you knew that you were going to be part of something that your grandchildren would be watching with you. And I can't say that about any other show that I've done.
Hi, all you Pond fans. Great news.
Beverly Hills Pawn returns with all new episodes.
The wait is over. All the biggest.
The biggest.
Hits.
Hell yeah.
All the craziest.
Fighting.
All the sexiest.
My Yoshi Magic strike again.
Beverly Hills Pawn. All new episodes premiere Wednesday at 9 Eastern on Reels.
We'll be there, and we hope you'll be there too.
On today's show, multi-talented actress and beauty expert, best known for starring in the feature film God's Not Dead and the original series Beverly Hills Pawn, which I can't wait to talk about. Also, makeup artist and hairdresser for Hollywood's A-lister, which led to developing her very own beauty bomb skincare line, Beverly Hills Bomb. I can't wait to try it. Corey Oliver is joining me. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, my God. You're the cutest thing.
You're so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So before we start on everything, I know that you and I share something in common. We're both recently, a little bit more recent, empty nesters. How is it going?
Yes. You know what? I had such an amazing journey with my daughter, and she's going to be 21. She's been out now for almost 3 years. But when she first left, we talked just a little bit about this before this call, but I did that ugly cry when I dropped her off at college. I thought, what am I doing? I'm leaving my baby behind. And you really do feel, and I've talked to other mothers about this, you really feel like you're leaving an arm or leg. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
like you're like half your body or your heart.
It's just so strange. And her and I were very close. I was divorced when she was a year and a half. And so we were just very close. And I was just so grateful for the time that I had with her in-house. I see her all the time. I FaceTime her 2 or 3 times a day. And I go down and see her. She's only 2 hours away from me, so it wasn't too bad. But I literally was like,
right.
What am I doing? You know, that just that deep pain. And I didn't know if it was normal. But, you know, now that I've talked to other mothers and understand that, yes, that's how they all feel, you know.
I keep saying I need to do more empty nest shows. I need to start those because I'm my son 2 years out, my daughter just the first year. And like you said, I FaceTime them and talk to them and they're not that far away, you know, 4 hours.
So
it's not terrible. But it's painful. Like they should not be leaving us.
No, and you know, I think that's how you should feel. And when I was, when she was first born, I saw an empty nester show from Oprah Winfrey, and I woke up my now ex-husband, but at the time husband, and I was sobbing. It was like 1 a.m, and I was sobbing. He's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Ariana's gonna be gone someday. Come back to bed. You have 17 more years."
That's so true. Oh my gosh. Okay, so take us back to the very beginning, because I know that you came. You went to LA, and you had everything that you owned in your car, right?
I did.
You had
packed it all up.
Yeah, you packed it all up. What you had, like, what did you say? I think you said $400 in your pocket.
$400. That was my first month's rent.
And then there you go. You came to LA with a dream, and you never gave up.
Like, good thing for Taco Bell. I did. I came to LA with.
Is that the magic Taco Bell? Is that the?
It was back then because it was like, you know, 50 cents for a burrito, and you know, beans and cheese. It was great. But I wouldn't detour anyone from pursuing their dreams. I always say, you know, I quote Walt Disney all the time: "If you can dream it, you can achieve it."
I was going to say that. So, I love that quote that you use of his, of Walt Disney.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want anyone to not pursue them. And so, you know, it came with its trials and tribulations, and I had to, you know, get the lay of the land down here, and I didn't know anybody in the business. But at the same time, I learned valuable lessons, and you go through things for a reason, and it all worked out. But I thought, well, if I don't make it in 4 months, I'll just go home. That wasn't really the God's plan, I'll say, and to find make it, you know. So I did pursue my dreams. I left my family behind, and that was back when we didn't have, you know, cell phones and couldn't FaceTime. And right. So I can't even imagine now what my poor parents, you know, because I couldn't FaceTime them. I can't imagine if Ariana was somewhere and we couldn't FaceTime.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always apologize to them. I'm like, "I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad." But it all worked out, and you know, LA is my home now, and I really love it. So
that's so awesome. I love that. And I always say, you know, I was born and raised in Miami, and I moved to New York City after college. I left my parents too. And you know, I do feel bad because, you know, our life is here now, but like you said, what Walt Disney's quote is the best one: "If you can dream it, you can achieve it." And that's so true. And I feel that when talking to you and listening to your interviews that you've done and watching you, your heart is like all over the place. You're like the nicest person in the world.
And to top it off,
you moved with $400 in your pocket and everything you own in your car. And your latest film, God's Not Dead, was an international box office hit with over $100 million in sales. I mean, look at that.
And you know what is a crazy story about that is I had taken 13 years off to raise my daughter, and which I would go back and do the exact same thing again. And when I went back into the business, I remember a friend of mine, you know, kind of talking to her husband who was in the business and saying, "Hey, can you help Corey, you know, in any way? You know, she's reintroducing herself into the business." And he told her that I was too old to play a leading lady. And I remember going home and I was just so crushed. And I don't want to get too preachy, but I was praying. I was like, "God, what do I do with this information? This is painful." And I just tell you what, God is good. And
if they think you're too old, look at you. You're gorgeous. And
oh, you're so sweet. But it just like happened. And I was crying and crying out to God, and it just happened. And so, you know, I always tell people, never give up. Just follow your heart, follow your dreams. It doesn't matter if someone says no, you can't. Like Lady Gaga says, it only takes one person to believe in you. And I truly do believe that. And so just even if sometimes that person is you, believing in yourself, like just keep pushing forward, do something every day towards your goals and towards your dreams, and they will happen. May not happen in our timeline.
I hope everybody's listening, because that's really such good advice, and the smartest advice too. I think a lot of people know
it's hard.
Mm-hmm, that you started, that you went to cosmetology school, and your background is amazing. I mean, you're a makeup artist to Jennifer Love Hewitt, Dustin Hoffman, Betty White, Kris Jenner. Your work has graced magazine covers, People, Vogue, Shape, Woman. I mean, come on. So in the opposite side, you know, of the world, like doing that and not being in front of the camera, being behind, what has that taught you and what was that like?
That was fun. That was amazing. I came down here and I had my cosmetology license and, you know, it's great to always have something to fall back on, especially sure. during those years when I wasn't, you know, able to book acting stuff. And I worked on a show called Home and Family Show, which is now on its second with a whole other cast, but I worked on the original one, and so I got to work with some amazing people, and it taught me how to be strong and how to be patient. And while I would work on that show, they would book me on 90210 and some of the hot shows back then, and the show Home and Family would always promote, you know, the things that I worked on, and so it just kind of worked out. And, you know, working behind the camera is just as fun and interesting and exciting as in front of. They're just two different animals. So I've been able to do a little bit of both, and it's been, you know, kind of a great run. And working with those people, they're just lovely. All of them that you named are amazing and lovely. And, you know, like Betty White. I mean, I grew up with Betty White, and right. having her sit in my chair was like... I was, and I was just saying this in another interview that, you know... I asked her, I said, what do you do? You look timeless. You just look beautiful. And she said, I smile. that is her greatest asset. When you walk in the room, she smiles. And I always quote Audrey Hepburn because she says, happy girls are the prettiest, right?
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful asset. And, you know, oftentimes we tend to forget that at home, but I think it's an important one to.
Oh my God. So Betty White's secret is just smile. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm smiling. That's all I'm going to do is smile. Oh my gosh. But you must have learned so many great tricks too, being a makeup artist. I mean, going to school like that and learning all that.
I did. And I have a love for skincare, and, I have
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, and I do. I have a love for skincare, and the one main thing, if I could tell people from a very young age, is to exfoliate. Our skin, when you exfoliate, it creates new skin cells and regenerates itself. It's kind of an amazing, you know, concept, and it's also so important. And so I do not just your face, but your neck and your whole body exfoliate.
Okay, that's the trick. So what exfoliator do we use?
I am currently using by a company called ROCK, R-O-C, and you can get it at CVS or Rite Aid, and they are called resurfacing discs.
Okay.
And they're just little white pads, and I keep them in the shower, and I use them, I shower at night, I use them after I've showered, because your skin's kind of, you know, you've steamed and mm-hmm. loose, and then you just gently take the resurfacing disc and go over it. Now, there's a soft side and a rough side. I will reuse them, too. It's kind of funny because I'll just kind of stick it on my shower
right.
wall, which is probably not that great, but I'm just giving away one of my secrets.
No, we love this. We like to learn secrets.
Yeah, and they're fantastic, and they just get everything off. And you know, you don't want to rub hard. You just gently – I do circles.
Okay.
So I just gently use that, and you'll see within a week your skin is just smooth, and it's wonderful. It's fabulous.
All right, we're all going to get the ROCK exfoliating now that Corey Oliver told us that. I have to ask you this because I've never met her. I've never interviewed her, and I hope to one day. J-Lo, I just – she's everything.
She's flawless. I'm not going to lie. She is flawless, and she was wonderful. She came on the Home and Family Show and when she did Selena.
What a movie.
Yes, that was fantastic. That was really at the beginning. You know, she was a fly girl, but that was the beginning of her acting mm-hmm. career. And she was wonderful. She's just beautiful inside and out. Has her smile and her laugh is fantastic. And, you know, she came in And we were all just like, okay, that face. She's just...
And she's such a good mom.
She really is. I really... Did you see the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, girls, that was a really a beautiful moment with her daughter. I can imagine how that must have felt for both of them.
I know. Yeah. I had Anna Kaiser on right before the Super Bowl. She was talking about training Shakira, too, and all the work those girls put into it, and pretty amazing. So if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Corey Oliver, actress, beauty expert, and entrepreneur. You've been successful as a celebrity and an entrepreneur. Most people cannot say that. So you created Beverly Hills Bomb. Tell us about that and what went into that and why that?
Well, I have an addiction for lipstick or lip balm, and I was a single mom for a very long time. And I, you know, when you are, you, even any mom,
yes.
It doesn't matter. You want to pour into your kids. And so getting those little impulse buys at the store, you can justify $5 to $10 on a lip balm. And so I would gather them. And my daughter, before she went to college, she put a moratorium on them. She's like, Mom, you can't buy one more lip balm. That's it. I mean, here she is telling me.
Right.
You can't. And so I just decided my show had ended, Beverly Hills Pawn, and I decided to just create one. And I got really excited about it because I wanted to go back to basics and create a lip balm that was just kind of all whole and natural. You know, the pink shimmer has a little bit of red dye in it because it adds the color. But so we did. We created a lip balm. I did it in my kitchen. I work with my best friend of 40 years, Tara Broida. She's just that friend that makes you pee your pants.
Oh, I love that.
And so we joined forces and created BeverlyHillsBalm.com. We are just online currently. It's in a jumbo tube, and we love it because you can. It's really a great product to kind of throw in your makeup bag. And if you're a traveler, you know they're not going to confiscate it. It's 0.50 ounces, and it does everything. I mean, this balm is. You can use it on your split ends. You can put it on your cheeks. You can use it on your lips. People have
so it's for
me,
everything.
Oh my gosh. It really is. Mainly, people use it on their lips and cheeks, but. I had someone call me and say it helps their cuticles when they
I need that
when they
really
get their
bad.
Gel nails. They just kind of put it on. So it is an all-inclusive balm, but we mainly use it on our lips and cheeks. But it has castor oil, beeswax, vitamin E, coconut oil, peppermint, and that's it. It's really... a clean balm.
Yeah, so, the pink
I'm
shimmer. Yes, I can't wait. The pink. I'm going to be wearing it all the time. The pink shimmer is so pretty. So how fun was that journey?
That was amazing because truly you get to when you go looking at products and ingredients, you learn more about what's out there. And I didn't want a product that I was having to kind of look up all the names. I just wanted it to be simple and
right.
Good ingredients. Our skin is our largest organ. You know, people can wear a patch on their arm and get rid of their nicotine addictions. That's how strong our skin is. When you put something on it, we absorb it immediately. So I wanted it to be something that if we absorbed, it was going to be okay for our bodies. And so that's kind of where it stemmed from. And in mixing ingredients and the heat and all that stuff that I got to learn was fantastic. I now have a lab in the Van Nuys here in Los Angeles. It isn't far from me. It's called AMR Labs, and they're wonderful. I got to work with our chemists, and we came up with a really great product. So I'm excited for you to try it.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to try it. How exciting. So Beverly Hills Palm, bomb.com, they can log on to that, and they can order it online. And I like that there's not a lot of ingredients because who has time? Who has time to read through that? And you want something that's simple and that's easy. And then you can, and I want to put it on my cuticles. That's what I've been researching. Like, what can I put, you know, in the winter, we're so dry here in the East Coast. It's terrible.
Oh, I know. And it gets like that here too. And it feels like velvet. That's what most people say. It feels very velvety and soft. So yeah, I'll send you some if you want to give one to your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. And I have to say that. Yes, I will definitely give some away to the listeners. So tune in to the podcast. So I have a feeling that there's going to be more than just the lip balm. I have a feeling you're going to do more, Corey.
Yes, we
more's to come.
We are working on more. And in fact, it's funny because my partner's always coming up with amazing ideas. And we've got one that's in the works. So we'll be launching that out soon. Stay tuned. It's kind of a surprise. But, you know.
Maybe you'll be the official beauty expert on our show. You'll come back and you'll tell us more about that. I have to ask you about Beverly Hills Pawn. Like so many questions. What was the most valuable item ever brought in?
Oh my gosh. What was the most valuable item?
And how fun was that show?
That show was amazing. You know, I actually was in every episode. We all were. We all did 66 episodes. So, you know, nothing really excited me more than the Hollywood memorabilia. They tried to do the jewelry and stuff with me, but it was the Hollywood memorabilia that got me. I mean, I found myself in Zsa Zsa Gabor's house selling Elvis's piano. And so I grew up watching, you know, Green Acres, and it was just an incredible journey. And I can't remember the most expensive item, but one of my favorites were, and I talk about this all the time, were the Marilyn Monroe's and Joe DiMaggio's lighters that they gave away at their civil ceremony. Mm-hmm. They were just these little silver and gold lighters. They weren't even real silver or gold. They were tattered. They were torn and beaten up. But they were $30,000 a piece.
Wow.
Because they had, there was one of just very few items that had both of their signatures on it. They wouldn't sign things together. So I think it was the lighters, and then there was like a baseball that had been thrown out at a World Series, and they both signed it.
Oh my God.
But yeah, some of that information, you know, the stories were just incredible. It just, we had a lot of movie memorabilia on the show. I can't remember what the most expensive one was.
That doesn't even matter. How about Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio's? How about their love story? Oh my God.
Oh, I know. When I heard about, you know, most people don't know, especially this generation, that they were married for 9 months. They got married in the courthouse in San Francisco. They were only married for 9 months, but that was the love of his life. And for 20 years, he sent flowers to her grave.
Oh,
once
wow.
a week.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, it really was quite the love story. I believe she still loved him as well. It's just sometimes life happens and, you know, it doesn't work out. I know that well. But
Yes, me too. If you just know, I'm talking to Corey Oliver, actress, beauty expert, entrepreneur, who developed her very own beauty bomb skincare line, Beverly Hills Bomb. Check it out, beverlyhillsbomb.com. What was the weirdest item ever brought in?
Oh my gosh, the weirdest item. It's been so long since I shot the show. We had Baz Luhrmann's hands from, what's that movie? I can't even think of it. There were these, they had a lot of items that were from horror films.
So there was probably a lot of weird things going on.
But I'll tell you one woman that is coming to mind right now that wasn't even Hollywood memorabilia. She walked in off the street one day and she brought this bracelet. And I guess what someone had given it to her, and it was a charm bracelet. And there was one little Cartier charm on there. It's a tiny little Cartier charm. And it was old, and it was worth $25,000.
Oh, my God.
I know. She had no idea. She was like, oh, can you guys, you know, check this bracelet out? And just one charm on there was worth $25,000. And I thought, you know, you just never know.
You just never know
that you're sitting on. I know.
So that's crazy. So currently you're co-hosting Hollywood Westlake. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I live out in the Westlake area, and my co-host, Ryan O'Quinn, who owns Damascus Road Productions, they have a production company out here in Westlake, and he did a movie called Believe, and he's in the industry as well. He's an actor and a producer and a writer. And we joined forces to do a local show out here. So we didn't have to have the talent, you know, drive all over the, you know, LA. There's a lot of people that live in our area that are in the industry,
right?
And sports and entertainment. And So we just created this show called Hollywood Westlake, and we just finished wrapping our 10th episode.
Wow.
And we are building a studio out here, and we are going to resume in another month on with guests. And, you know, that's been an interesting journey as well. And that's another thing. You can think you're going down one path, and then, you know, I say God, but your life might take you down another.
That's right.
And that's a whole other area which I have a new appreciation for. You know, interviewing is not easy. You know, being Ellen or Oprah or Barbara Walters,
true.
It's not that easy. And as you know, and you want to make the other person shine. So it's kind of a nice segue into another part of the industry. I've really enjoyed it.
And you've remained such a nice person through all. I mean, some people don't make it in Hollywood. Some people go down the wrong roads. And look, you're a multi-talented actress. You've done so much in so many different areas. And now you've developed your own Beauty Bomb skincare line. And you've stayed very humble and kind and gracious, which is something that's very refreshing.
Thank you. You know, I'm grateful.
I say that about two Hollywood actors that I interviewed recently, Henry Winkler and Tony Danza. So humble, so kind,
so nice, so normal.
So there's so many great people out there. It's amazing. So I can't wait to try. I can't wait to try your Beverly Hills Bomb. I can't wait to give it away to people and get them to try it. So, and I can't wait to hear what's next with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We started out this talk with bonding over empty nesting. And,
yes, and Betty White saying, you know, the secret is to smile.
It is. And I always tell people, if you want to reach out to me, please DM me or email me. I'm accessible. It's on all my information. I have CoreyOliver.com, which has my email and on my Instagram and Twitter, my DMs are open. So, you know, I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear prayer requests. I want to hear whatever you have. You know, I know we're all kind of in this together, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of an organization called Moms in Prayer. And it's helped me understand the value of sticking together just as people, but also as women.
That's right.
And, you know, cause we go through a lot in so many different areas. And so I just want to be there for people. So feel free to reach out to me and start a dialogue, because I think that's what it's about.
I agree. You know, you're connect. A doll. Thank you so much, Corey Oliver, actress, beauty expert, entrepreneur. Check out her own Bomb skincare line, Beverly Hills Bomb, and I'll be giving it away. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, honey. Oh, sorry. The door is open. I just let myself in.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hey, did you pick up the bottle of wine I wanted?
I did. I left it in the car.
It's in the car. Don't worry about it. You have a lot on your plate. So, you know, just thank you for helping set up our dinner party.
Well, unless I'm wrong, all the guests are from the philosophy department?
It's not true. I mean, Vivian's a sociologist.
You're proving my point.
Look, I can't help it. See, my intellectual rigor falls to pieces the instant I get around you.
Really? You could have fooled me. Mm. The first time I walked into your classroom, you were all blood and thunder.
That was a performance staged largely for your benefit. In the meantime, I kept trying to keep my eyes off you and hoping that there was a brain inside that pretty head.
This show is for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without the written consent of What's Up With Wendy is prohibited. You can subscribe to my podcast, What's Up With Wendy, on all major podcast apps, including Apple, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google, YouTube, and more. Thanks to all my amazing guests today. Have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend.
Follow Wendy on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up With Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Loewy Sloan. No, I've still got a lot of value left in me.